feet one more time, and let's pray together right now. Pray with me. Say it out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My heart is ready and my ears are open for what you have for me today. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word today. We ask you, Lord, speak to us, minister to us right where we are. And, Lord, as we approach your word, we thank you, Lord, that it is alive and real to us, that we're able to grab hold of what you say in it and run with it and do that which you've called us to do. And, Lord, we just give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor right now in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. Turn around, give your neighbor a high five, and you can be seated. Amen. I just realized I need to have this open on here so I can see when to hit the clicker. Amen. Well, we'll find it very quickly here. You know, our series has been really good, and I want to encourage you, if you did not hear last Sunday's message about the poverty mentality, go back and listen to it. I think it's important because I have never in my life heard anybody actually do a whole message on it. And I thought what was shared last Sunday was powerful and important because really this kind of attitude and mentality has affected all of our lives. Can you say amen? And a lot of people just don't see it. They don't realize how much the ways we were raised, the ways we were brought up in our homes with our parents, with our grandparents, the attitudes that they had towards money, the attitudes that they had towards giving even. And again, you know, I've not been talking about giving per se, not bucking for an offering like I've told you the last two Sundays. We're not doing that. But I just felt impressed that I need to tell you these things, and I want you to hear what I'm saying as your pastor. I say these things to protect you. And next Sunday, I'm going to put protection in overdrive, and I'm going to talk to you about red flags and offerings. Because as the days and weeks and months and years proceed forward here till Jesus is returned, the enemy is going to become more crafty. And there's going to be more goofiness than you've ever seen before. And you need to know in your spirit on the inside how to protect yourself, your family, and listen to me, your finances. So next two Sundays after this today's message, because today I want to finish up talking about poverty and the poor. But this next two Sundays, you don't want to miss this because I'm going to say some things you probably never heard before, and you wished you'd heard it a long time ago. Because people do all sorts of things when they receive offerings sometimes, and a lot of it's not God. Hello? A lot of it's not God. And I just want to share with you what the scriptures say and how you need to protect yourself from the crazies and the Fruit Loops. Everybody say Fruit Loop. That's a spiritual term, okay? You've got to protect yourself. Because God, you know, he looks at your heart. And you know what? That's what he wants. You know, money's not evil, is it?
No.
It's the love of it that gets you in trouble. And that's really what we've been talking about. I just wanted to share what my feelings were about prosperity and how important it is that you grab hold of the truth of the word. And I'm just going to leave these off because lately they've gotten better and better. Actually, I only really wear them now when I drive. And all this stuff that I did with the stem cells, it's really affected my eyesight. And it's a really, I'm telling you, it's a miracle of God. So this morning, you know, if you got your Bibles there, we're going to read our scriptures that we've been sharing. Our main theme scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. It's out on the chalkboard out there. But it says here in the Amplified, it says, but you, everybody say me. You, he's talking to you, that's me, you know, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the what? Power. Everybody say, I got power.
I got the power.
You got it. All right? You got the power to get what?
Well.
And who gave you that power?
God.
God did. That ought to tell you who's Lord of your life, too. Either you're going to be consumed with the power or you're going to be consumed with Him. Because if you're consumed with Him, then you know the right reasons for it. He's given you everything that you are that you need to be able to create and make wealth so that what? So that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. You know, money's an object, and you know, God's not against your material blessings at all, but He wants your heart. He wants your heart in every detail. And when your heart's focused right, God can do more in this earth than you could ever imagine. Amen. I used to have a dream that McDonald's would sponsor a big 747, and we'd load it up full of people, and they'd pay for the whole thing, and we could win the lost all around the world. This was when I was a little kid. We'd win the lost all around the world. I could have a Happy Meal on the plane. And we could win the lost all around the world in a matter of a couple weeks. And we actually really could, but all it takes is money to do that. But we live in a world and society where they value the dollar more than they value the heart of God. Come on. And I just really felt it's important that we share on the things we've been talking about. First Sunday, we talked about what Proverbs says about money and all the different aspects. We talked to you about, you know, there's no get-rich-quick schemes. There's no magical moment. Even the magical moments that happen to people you may know, that's not a common thing. What is common is if you honor God, He'll do what? Honor you. He's always faithful. So, and then last Sunday, you know, let's get through these other verses. We read these quite often, but Luke 6:38, Jesus told us what? Give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more, abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Amen. And then we've read in 2 Corinthians 9:7, I'm going to hit on 2 Corinthians again here. But so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what kind of giver?
Cheerful.
Cheerful, happy giver. Amen.
Amen.
The Amplified Bible says, look at this. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly, not sorrowfully, or under compulsion. I'm going to use this again next Sunday, under compulsion. For God loves, He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, and I love the one what's in quotes here, a cheerful, joyous, and what? Prompt to do it. Everybody say prompt to do it. How many times has God spoken to you but you didn't listen? But He prizes someone who's prompt to do it. What's it say in Isaiah 1:18, 19? If you will only obey me, I'll make you rich, is what it reads in the old Greenback Living Bible. A lot of people want to serve God, and they want to love God, but a lot of times we don't obey Him in every area of our lives. And obeying Him in our lives is vital and important. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we shared last week, do you have a poverty mentality? And, you know, a poverty mentality is not the same as being poor. A person can have little material things, a little bit of material things, and possess tremendous faith, generosity, and abundance. But likewise, someone can be wealthy or have money and still live with a scarcity mindset. And God doesn't want us living that way. Amen. Jesus died so the curse could be broken off of you. He wants you blessed so you can do more for the kingdom. Amen. And we read several scriptures what poverty mentality looks like. And the first one was a constant fear that there's never enough. Jesus addressed this in this verse here. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, your food or your clothing. He says in Matthew 6, 31-33, you can go read it. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them or need these things. And I gave you another point that we read in the scriptures. about a poverty mentality, seeing yourself permanently through your lack. A lot of people see themselves through their lack instead of seeing themselves through what the Word of God says. And you have to see yourself in how the Word sees you. Not in your lack, not with what you don't have, not sitting there whining and crying to God because you need, you want, I gotta have, my name's Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. It didn't work on your grandma, don't you think that's gonna work on Jesus? What works is when you obey God and do what His Word says. That's what works, okay? Your Heavenly Father knows you got need, but you can't see yourself permanently through your lack. You know, Israel remembered Egypt as being preferable to trusting God in the wilderness. They would have rather eat onions and leeks and go back and being a slave than trusting God in the wilderness. They did that. Poverty mentality. Their circumstances began to control how they viewed God's faithfulness. All right, they ask you, control how you view God's faithfulness. Exodus 16, verses 2 through 3, where we read about the children of Israel in this matter. Another aspect of the poverty mentality is holding too tightly because you're afraid to give. Scripture presents generosity as an expression of trust. Trust in who?
God.
God. Trust in God. And what do we read in that expression of trust? In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 8, we read that our God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful, happy, glad to do, prompt to do it giver. Amen. And then another aspect of a poverty mentality that we shared with you last Sunday, believing your present condition determines your future. That's not true. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall what? Supply. How much? All of my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then the last point I gave you last Sunday was this. Thinking wealth itself proves God's blessing. The opposite is true. And that's an error if you think wealth proves His blessing. Because the opposite is true. Because Jesus warned us in Luke 12:15, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Your life should consist in the heart that you have towards God the Father and obeying His Word, being a doer of the Word. He'll take care of your need if you just honor Him every time. Amen. So the opposite of a poverty mentality isn't simply a wealth mentality, but it's a kingdom mentality. Amen. Told you about how David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That doesn't mean as a believer you'll ever experience financial difficulty. Anybody experienced problems? We all have, amen. We've all had those Malox moments, those speed bumps in life. You're in a parking lot that has speed bumps that goes on forever. I know when I went to pick up Cheryl Saturday morning, I always bring her a certain coffee. And I have the order saved in my phone. It says Princess's Coffee Order. And the Starbucks I usually go to on the interstate, they were lined up out in the street. And I thought, I don't have time for this. So I booked it past the hotel. I hit the mall parking lot, and there was a speed bump going around the backside. You know what I'm talking about? I hit every one of those speed bumps as fast as I could. Didn't hurt anything, because they're all worn down from the people that did the same thing I did. But I got in line. There was nobody in line at the Starbucks at the mall. And I had them write Princess on the cup and said, who is this? I said, well, I could tell you, but, you know, I don't want to. But it's somebody special. And when she got in the car, she just beamed from ear to ear. You know, but I tell you, driving across those speed bumps, I asked the Lord, please don't hurt my car. Please don't hurt my car. After getting it back from the air conditioner issue. Amen. You know, sometimes things happen. The air conditioner issue the other week, you know. Things happen. I'm not going to worry about it because what? The Lord is my what?
Shepherd.
He takes care of business. Everybody say, my God. Takes care of my business. Amen. You don't want Him up in your business. You want Him to take care of your business. Oh, come on. That's good preaching. You don't want Him up in your business because you didn't obey. You want him to take care of your business. You know, we all got to realize we have to let our heart be transformed from the attitude that I have to live controlled by fear because there may not be enough, to where we have the attitude that God is my source, therefore I can trust him, I can obey him, I can work faithfully, I can give generously, I can steward wisely, and I can refuse to let lack define me. Amen? You cannot let lack define you. If you do, always afraid you don't have enough. Always afraid there's just not enough. Fearful. You know, a lot of people hold a dollar so tight they can't let go of 10 cents. We need not be that way. There's one thing to be frugal, it's another thing to have fear. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And we all should be savers, absolutely. We live in a society where most people don't save anymore. But being frugal is one thing, but operating in fear of lack, that's a whole other animal that'll cost you in the long run. Amen. But we need to obey him and give generously. And we stopped there last week, and I wanted to share this verse here today and get into talking about giving to those in need. And I have a handout for you today. I told you I would, and we'll give that out shortly here. But let's go over this verse in particular. Biblical transformation here is so vital that we're not controlled by fear, but we're controlled by who our source is. One powerful passage, Paul connects God's provision not merely with accumulating wealth, but having enough to abound to every good work. Would you say that with me? Say, I have enough. To abound to every good work. Amen. I have enough to abound to every good work. Amen. To give faithfully, to be honorable unto the Lord. See, biblical abundance has a purpose. You ought to write that down. Remember our first message on Sunday, who's the rich? And what did I tell you? You are. If you look it up, everybody in America that makes over $30,000 a year is the top 1% of everybody in the world. That's huge. You are wealthy.
Yes, I am.
That ought to make you change your confession and your attitude. Because you are wealthy. You're not without, but you're with. Hey, that's something to laugh about. Amen. Woo! I'm good. The devil tries to take something from me. No, I'm not going to lose my joy over you. You're just a pipsqueak. My father owns the cattle on a bazillion hills. Dad will sell me a cow if I need something. I'm good. Everybody say, I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah, I was in the car today, and I just started singing, and that song came up. I'm the best there's ever been. And I kept saying that over and over, and on the inside, I heard Jesus say, yep, because of me. You know, you need to see yourself in a different way. Money's there so that you can abound to every work that God puts before you. Now listen to this. And this is from the New Living Bible. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11. It reads like this. It says, remember this. I love it so down to earth in the New Living. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a what?
Generous
crop. Verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. We're going to talk about that next week. For God loves a person who gives what?
Cheerfully.
Verse 8, and God will generously provide how much? All that you need, all that I need. He'll take care of you. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And then in verse 9, as the scripture says, they share freely and give what? generously to the poor. I'm going to talk about the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered for how long?
Forever.
You know, I know maybe you don't want to hear so much about Dolly Parton, but isn't it amazing, somebody that won an Emmy, won multiple Grammys, won all these special country music awards, had money out the wazoo, and what is she remembered for? Loving people.
Yeah.
That's a testimony.
Amen.
See, God knows your heart when it comes to your money. He sees all. He knows all. This scripture right here, it says their good deeds will be remembered for how long?
Forever.
Amen. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then what? Produce a great harvest of generosity in where? In you and me. Verse 11. Yes, you will be what? Enriched. It ain't just a white loaf of bread. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be what?
Generous.
And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will do what? Now, these verses here, this distinction really matters. Poverty is a circumstance. A poverty mentality is a way of thinking. Scripture seeks to continually transform your mind, not merely change your bank account. If you allow, like Romans 12:1, a renewing of your mind, if you allow God to change your way of thinking, He can change everything in your life. Scripture teaches us that Jesus broke the curse off of us so that we can walk in that abundant life. Amen. There's lots of examples in the book of Acts. If you read it and you study it, I like reading it in the Voice Translation or the New Living because there's certain things that jump out. There's one story in the book of Acts and Acts 11 where the prophet Agabus, you know, showed up in Antioch and he predicted in the spirit there would be a great famine. And the entire Roman world would be affected by it. And it goes on, it says, believers in Antioch decided to send relief to their brothers and sisters in Judea. They were suffering. And the Bible talks about that everything that they gave, they would send it towards Judea. But the thing was, if you read, it was Paul and Barnabas that hand-carried that offering to take care of those in need. They did it personally. They wanted to make sure that these people were loved and taken care of. I think that's a powerful story. There's other references in the book of Acts where Paul met in Jerusalem with church leaders about his ministry, about his message, and he was acknowledging things. And you read about what he wrote in Galatians 2:10. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. Paul said that. I was always eager to do. And we read on down, there's lots of things in the New Testament about taking care of those in need. Everybody say need.
Need.
How many of you have been moved by need? Well, I know at the Joshua Project, Melissa was talking about the family that came up with 10. And the one kid was his birthday. And your heart breaks. Oh, I wish I could give him a cake. A candle. They have nothing. We're living in a tent. Your heart should be moved with compassion towards those in need. It's a part of the gospel. Operation Christmas Child is just not just something we do as an outreach. It's a part of the gospel. Did you know that Oral Roberts and Billy Graham were best friends? Did you know that? They were best friends. Oral sent a plane when Evelyn was hurt to go pick up Billy Graham as he came back from a crusade overseas to come and pray for his wife. And he came. Because there's a heart to give. There's a heart to bless. There's a heart to take care of. There's so much you don't know about things that you think you do in people's hearts, and how powerful it is when they choose to give, not to put on a show or to say, look at me, but because they love and they want to obey God and His Word. To pray for the sick, to take care of the poor, to help the needy. This is why you have money. This is why you're blessed. Amen. You know, in the New Testament, there was an emphasis on poverty in Jerusalem when you read it. There was scarcity that was absolutely prevalent for a majority of people throughout the Roman Empire. And that's historical fact. In fact, the Roman Empire in the first century had a lot of poverty and a lot of homelessness. Homelessness has been around forever. And I talked to you, you know, the first Sunday and the first message that there were wealthy people in the Ephesus, in the Ephesian church. I shared about that. But here's something maybe you don't know. In the church in Ephesus, there were a lot of wealthy people. But there was at least 25%, and I got this from looking at Warren Wiersbe's commentaries and a couple other ones, there was probably at least 25% of the people in the church in Ephesus that were slaves. But they took their earnings and they honored God to help those that were in more need than they were. That's powerful. Maybe you didn't know this. In Corinth, in the church in Corinth, there was as many as 50% of its residents were slaves. But yet they honored God. Yet if you go beyond slavery, there were significant levels of lack and neediness all throughout Europe, all throughout that whole time in the first century. But there are things you need to know and realize that God has called us to have a heart for those in need. You know, we did a thing for a while. If I knew about something that was a big need in somebody's life, and we kept it a secret, and I used the story of Joseph of Arimathea. He kept things secret. Rick Renner brought out about how Joseph of Arimathea took the things that were given that the wise man brought to Mary and Joseph for Jesus, you know. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, those things were very expensive. Did you know that Joseph of Arimathea invested all that? And it was the money that he invested that helped Jesus and his family get out of town so Herod didn't kill him? Absolute historical fact. Not only that, it was Joseph of Arimathea who made sure there was a tomb for the wealthiest man on the earth, Jesus. The one who redeemed you of every part of the curse. That sepulcher and everything about that tomb, it was Joseph of Arimathea's burial spot. But he gave it to the one who took care of it all. Stop and breathe for a minute for that one. See, poverty is around us all the time. We can't ignore it. The Bible teaches about the poor, teaches about helping those in need. Getting back to Joseph of Arimathea, we did a thing called Team Arimathea. And if I knew of something that was a big need, and the Lord kind of brought this up to me as I was getting ready for today, need to do it again. So if you want to be on the Team Arimathea, you want to do something extra special, I still have the list. But if you'd like to do that, then tell me and give me your email, and I'll put you on that list. And if there's something I know of a need, we'll take care of it. And we'll let you be a part of that privately. Joseph of Arimathea kept secrets. And he did it to protect those he helped. Okay? There's scripture about that protection, taking care of others. But we'll do that again. But a lot of people in the world, they try to exploit the oppressed, to exploit those who are poor, to despise those that are hurting or that are in need. And the Bible teaches the exact opposite. And I think the church as a whole has gotten away from what we should be doing and taking care of those in need, helping others. Yes, we believe in divine healing. Yes, we believe in being blessed and doing all these things that we do. But taking care of those that are hurting, that's vital and important. Can you say amen? Well, let me give you some references for all this. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 10 through 11, just listen up here, and I'm going to give you the handout, and you can take this home and read it yourself. Because again, you know, the world will despise the poor. They'll exploit the poor and the oppressed. But there's so many references about taking care of those who are in need. Deuteronomy 15, verses 10 through 11. The Bible says, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That's why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. Isn't that a powerful verse? But we go right over those because we don't want to take care of that. Be honest with you, we get too prideful about it. How about this one? Psalm 41 and verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. Anybody ever done something for somebody and you felt like $1 million afterwards? Right? You been there, done that? Amen. I told you about the young lady we did something special for out of the blue. I took Harry. I went to go get me a coffee while we were waiting for the ladies to finish. And you know, who was at a Starbucks window that I didn't think I'd ever see her for a while till after the baby was born. But there she was. They made her a supervisor. She was going to work just a little bit longer before she gives birth. And she looked. She said, "Oh my gosh!" And we sat and talked for a minute. And she goes, "Come inside." So I went inside. And she came running out. She had my coffee. She reached around and hugged me. "You are my angel who has taken care of so much in my life." I got to tell you, I felt like $1 million. And she just told me how thankful she was for what Melissa and I did for her. And she goes, "You need to come back, and we're going to sit down and talk about Jesus. Because I want to know everything I can know." You know, it's what you sow that makes a difference in people. Are you listening to me? Oh, the joys of those who are kind to those in need, one translation says. Kind to those in need. Not necessarily poor, but kind to those in need. Another translation says, oh, the overwhelming laughter and happiness when you give to those who have a special, special need. That's a powerful one. The Bible goes on in Psalm 41:1, the Lord rescues them when they are in trouble, those who are poor. How about this one? This is Psalm 82, verses 3 through 4. It says, give justice to the poor and to the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and the helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. Amen. Poverty can get you in a situation where you're around evil people. Come on. You can be in a situation where you can't get out. This is why, as the church, we heard our different presidents talk about the faith-based initiative and all these things. There are things that are important that churches should be doing. But yet we won't. We won't take the time. And we need to take the time. Come on, that's good preaching today. Give justice to the poor and to the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and the helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. Well, what did Jesus tell us? Well, this one always shakes me up. And I got something I want to add to the end of this one. So curl your toes. I hope you got steel-toed shoes on. This is a good one. You ready? In Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, we all know this story. We've heard it many times. Well, let me tell you another way. Let me read this to you. Again, it's from the New Living Translation. It says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped 2 small coins in the offering. And Jesus turned to the disciples, and Jesus said these words, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all of the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has." That's a great way to read that verse, isn't it? And read it again. Just hear, just imagine Jesus in his eyes of compassion and just with a smile on his face, watching the whole scene that had taken place. And he looks to the disciples and uses the moment to teach them a life lesson. And if you're listening, this should be a life lesson for you. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped 2 small coins. And Jesus, you know, he turned to the guys. He said, "You know, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, their abundance. But she, as poor as she is, has given everything that she has." A couple takeaways of that one last statement. She's given everything that she has, as poor as she is. Jesus saw her heart. Jesus saw her passion towards honoring God. Now take a deep breath. How many times has Jesus seen your heart and your motivation? Again, sometimes we want to hold on to everything we got. We might take the money out of our wallet. I'm not going to throw money out. I could. But we'll look at our wallet. You know, there's a 10, there's a 20, there's a 10. There's another 10. Oops, there's a 5. Oh, here's $3. I'll just do the $3 because I got to hold on to all this. I don't know about you, but I have learned in my life that when I hold on, I have less. I have learned when I hold on, I have less. When I sacrifice more, there's more. Always. All the years working on the road, all the years serving different ministers and taking care of people important, I always gave my all. Me and Harry were talking about this because he did the same thing I did. And I gave my all. And all the times in doing all that, I found out how when you honor and you're faithful, God takes care of you. And I can't tell you how many times my employer or whoever it was I was with, and some of them were famous preachers, and I went out of my way to get them there. I remember one time I was thrown the keys to a car, and it was a Porsche, and there was an investment banker that had come to the ministry, and I was told, "James, no matter what you do, he has to make that plane." I want you to know I left the house going down I-75 doing over 100 miles an hour. And that investment banker sat beside me, and I leaned over and said, "You okay?" He goes, "Yep." And he looked at me with a big grin on his face, and he was 79 years old. He's passed away since then. But I said, "Whatever you do, just keep up with me as best you can. And when we get to the airport, I'm going to jump out, and I'm going to grab your bag, and you run in with me." This is back before 9/11, okay? We passed right through going to the gate, running. I mean, I'm running a full head of steam. They were about to close the plane's door. And how many of you know, legally, when they close the door, they will not open that door up. That's never changed. But I ran, and Milton was right behind me. He was running in his own way at his age, you know, as best he could. But I was boot scooting boogieing down that jet bridge. And They held the door open. I said, he has to make it back to Houston, please. And he got on. But you know what? He looked at me laughing before he got on the plane. The flight attendant goes, sir, you need the board. He goes, I know. But he had one foot there and one foot with me. And he reached in his pocket. And I tell you what, I didn't have anything at the moment. I had absolutely nothing. But all I cared about was doing my job and being faithful and making sure I executed what I was told to do. I've learned in my life, if you're steadfast, if you're consistent, and you stick to the plan, God takes care of it. Milton opened his wallet up. He gave me several $1,000s. And at that time in my life, I was 18, 19 years old, blew my mind. And I hugged him real tight. I didn't know how much it was when I hugged him. And I told him, I said, you don't have to do that. He says, yes, I do. If I could hire you away from him, I would. I said, no, I like my job. God called me there. And I drove the car back at a nice slow speed. And Phil asked me, he said, did you make it? I go, yep. He goes, I knew you would. And we just went on. Listen. God sees your heart just like he saw that widow lady. He knows what you got, what you don't got. And Isaiah talks about again, if you'll only obey me, if you'll only honor me, I will make you rich. One translation is 1:18-19 there in Isaiah. It says, I will perform miracles beyond your imagination. Read that in a commentary once. But the first part was, only if you obey me, only if you honor me. Y'all hear?
Yes.
See, that lady gave everything she had. We never read anything else, but I bet you when we get to heaven and we get to meet her, I bet she's got a big testimony. How many of you believe that? I mean, she reaped what she sowed. All right? And you got to understand, God wants your heart. Not your pocketbook. You're hearing me? If he's got your heart, then he already has that. Does he have your heart? Last scripture here. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God. That's Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. But James 1:27 says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing. Everybody say refuse.
Refuse.
Refusing to let the world corrupt you. Harry and I were talking, been here. They went to a special thing in Los Angeles where they were doing things for those who were homeless and in poverty and doing a reach out for unwed mothers and that kind of thing. And all these Hollywood people were there, and they were all excited that they raised $150,000, $300,000, and so forth. Some of those celebrities had millions of dollars. But they were just going to be all excited, look what I did. That's religion. But when you do things in the sight of God the Father, which means you have a heart to do this, you will refuse to let the world corrupt you into thinking in lack terms, but thinking in terms of what can I do to eliminate suffering. Because Jesus came to eliminate your suffering. Jesus came to redeem you from all of the curse. Y'all hear?
Yeah.
He came to redeem you from all of the curse. And he, bless God, did it. He did it. It is our honor and duty and our obedience unto the Lord to honor Him, to do that which He's told us in His Word. And again, I'm not pushing for an offering, but I'm telling you, God knows your heart. People will act one way about praise. They'll act one way about worship. They'll act one way about getting involved. I want to do this or that. But when it comes to that moment to where you have to do something that has to do with this, or they'll get an envelope and put it in the bucket so people see them doing it, but there won't be anything in the envelope. You think I'm kidding? Happens all the time. Curl your toes. God sees your heart. He sees your heart. Money's a tool. I'll tell you, we're blessed. But we're like you. If something bad happens, those air conditioners are going out. The outside one and then the car. Phew. Praise God. All in 1 week, $9,000 goes right out the door. That affects you, doesn't it? And I told you what I did. I'm going to sow a seed. Sowed a seed that Tuesday night on purpose. Sowed a seed Friday night on purpose to Brother Keith Moore. Devil can kiss my sassafras. Because I know who takes care of my business. And I don't want him up in my business. I want him taking care of my business because I honor him. Amen. And when you give, it better be because you honor him. And you don't give him seconds or thirds, but you give him your best. Because he promised you an abundant supply at any given moment. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me close right here. God, there's so much I could say. I'm going to skip a bunch of this. How about the movie It's a Wonderful Life? George Bailey took a devastating financial hit, and he lacked money. Y'all remember the story? I mean, he lacked money. I mean, it's a movie, it's a story, but boy, it's a powerful one when you stop and look at it in spiritual term. But in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey took a devastating financial hit and desperately lacked money. He agonized over his plight. But as things turned around, his little brother Harry called him, George Bailey, the richest man in town. Why? I'm going to tell you something. You honor God, whoo, He'll show up in ways you never thought He would. He'll take care of things for other people you never thought that would happen. But it does, because God's faithful. Everybody say He's faithful.
Faithful.
Amen. There's so many stories about the church, early church and the different things with poverty, but let's close with this. I realize that giving... In the Bible, it talks about in the King James alms, or giving to the poor, giving to those who are in need. That's one type of giving that we read about in Scripture. But really, as the Church of the Lord Jesus, the body of Christ, we celebrate all kinds of generosity and giving because God enjoys that. Remember, He likes a what kind of giver?
Cheerful
giver, a happy giver. He enjoys that. Amen. Get a couple ushers up here real quick. Let you guys handle that. And this is what I read to you, okay? And even my closing's on there, so you have that. But we celebrate all kinds of generosity and giving, and God enjoys that. D.L. Moody made this statement. He said, when God gave Christ to the world, He gave His best. He gave the best that He had. And He wants us to do the same. We should joyfully give to support our local church. We should joyfully give to spread the gospel. We should joyfully give to support those who have need. Because the Lord loves a what kind of giver again? Everybody say, I'm a cheerful giver. Did you learn something today? Amen. I want you to think about all this and really ponder it. Go back and listen to the first message on this series. Listen to last Sunday. Listen to this one again, because what I'm going to tell you this next week will help you keep your family safe. As dads and granddads, it'll help you be able to speak wisdom to your kids and to your grandkids about financial things, about church, about offerings. I really believe there's going to be a lot of shakeup in the body of Christ in the next year or two. I really do. I think the falling away, I mean, everybody gets up and says, oh, the great falling away, we're into it. You have no idea. Shook. I know they're back here at Giving Church. I know we got a lot of people out today, but that's okay. I know they're back. Well, Linda's in California. Different ones going to graduations and different things, special stuff. But you know what? God always takes care of things here. But I want you protected so, because once certain things happen, there'll be charlatans that'll come up in the void and people will be deceived. You don't need to be deceived. You need to know what those red flags are so that you don't give away the kitchen sink to the enemy. Okay? So I'm going to be a good pastor and I want to talk to you about red flags and offerings and things you need to watch for. I don't know about you, some of you are way older than I am, and I know, but how many of you have seen gimmick preachers come through and go? Raise your hand. I know I'm talking to the right crowd. I'm going to tell you some stories. You're going to think, well, I didn't know that happened. Yeah, it happened. People were taken by it. So come back next week, and we'll hit on this. Tonight, before we pray here, come back tonight. Starts at 6:30. They get back this afternoon. We're going to have them back here. We're going to have a good time fellowshipping before church starts. And we'll talk about, I know they've shared with me what they're going to share on. But when Harry and Cheryl minister together, it's just real sweet, isn't it? And they tag team in a way that's just unusual. So come back tonight. It'll be a precious service, and you'll enjoy it. And we start at 6:30. We're going to do, I think, two songs and turn it right over to them. We'll take up one offering tonight for them and bless them as they go back in the morning. Amen. They go back to California in the morning. So I wish they could stay another week. We've had so much fun. Amen. All right. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Amen. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have all of us in here. We have a heart for you. We want to honor you every chance we get. And Lord, even if it's during worship and praise and hearing the word and shouting amen, Lord, we want to honor you also in our finances, in every aspect. Lord, because we don't operate in the world's economy. The world's economy is up and down. But your kingdom's economy is stable and sure at all times. Lord, we thank you that we operate under your guidelines, under your vision, under what your word tells us. Lord, you gave your best to this world. You gave Jesus. And Lord, I know you want us just to honor and obey you because you want our hearts. And Lord, I just thank you that we're quick and prompt to do, and do it with joy as we support our church, as we support other ministries and ministers, as we give support to those who are in need, those who are without. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. And we worship you, Lord. We magnify you. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You know, if you're in here this morning and God's dealing with your heart about things, obey him. Amen. Obey him. Obey him. I've never seen anybody ever go without when they obey God. He will take you places you've never imagined. Just like the story I told about driving that financial guy from Houston. That man invested so much into the ministry. Not just the ministry I worked for at the time, but he invested millions of dollars in other ministries. Because that was his heart. He wanted to honor God. No matter who you are, you can honor God at all times. Don't let your pride keep you from doing that which God's spoken to you. Because He'll take care of that. I know He will. Father, I just pray for our church families, Lord, those that are watching this today because they couldn't be here. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, You're speaking to our hearts about things. You're doing great and mighty things in their finances and that of their families and their jobs, their businesses. Lord, even their retirement accounts, You're multiplying things. And we thank You for that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today, or you're watching online, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, woo, it's the best day ever to get saved, to know Him as your Savior. If that's you, and you want Jesus to be Lord, maybe you asked Him into your heart a long time ago, but you've not been living for Him. It's a good day to fix that. Amen. He's faithful and just to forgive you, to change your life. So if that's you right now, just pray with us. We'll pray with you. You pray in faith with us, and we'll just believe God together right now. So church, let's pray together. If you're watching online or you're here today, pray with us. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You and I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for me, to be raised from the dead. I believe that He saves. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live for You. I will honor You in every part of my life for the rest of my days. Thank You that I am now born again. In Jesus' name, amen.